and not doing a thing but relaxing your head. Just remember, the things you see might not quite be your own reality. For the message of this within the inner, and then you can know you're just a beginner. Because life, it starts, and when it ends, it turns around and then it's done.
Welcome to New Reality. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I explore the changing, shifting realities that seem to be going on, especially at this time and day, and as we move to a sort of unknown future, I think. And tonight's guest is someone who's investigated the unknown. She's the author of this book, The Love Bite, Eve Lawgren, and she is also a therapist, and she's also writing a new book. But this book, particularly, The Love Bite, Alien Interference of Human Love Relationships, has gotten a lot of press, and welcome to you, Eve.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no, it's been great talking to you before the show and really understanding this aspect of the alien abduction phenomenon that, like you say, most people, most researchers don't go near. So, you could probably describe it. Tell the audience really what this aspect of the abduction that you include that most people don't.
Well, I wrote this book actually in the year 2000 because I started doing support groups for people who've had what I call anomalous trauma, which involved mostly people who've had the alien encounter type of experience. And so through interviewing and working with people over a period of time, I discovered there was much more going on in their experiences than what was being publicly disclosed with the current research at the time, which most people hear about alien abductions as, you know, a type of UFO encounter where they may have missing time and some kind of medical experiments or gynecological things. But what I noticed was a deeper aspect of interference in their lives that dealt with their love relationships, where the aliens who were responsible for repeatedly contacting these people would orchestrate and manipulate their love relationships and other relationships as well to some pretty intimate levels of manipulation, and to the point of putting people together either in marriages or breaking up relationships or creating love obsessions and creating a lot of emotional highs and lows and drama and even chaos in their lives, which really didn't seem to make sense according to a lot of the current theories that were out there. And so I explored this more deeply and worked with Barbara Bartholek and the late Dr. Carla Turner to do more in-depth research about what was really happening that some of the other other researchers at the time weren't really mentioning it as if it was an important aspect of the alien abduction experience. But one thing that I have found over time is that it's really not limited to people who've had alien encounters, although that's really the window where we discovered it. So,
wait, if it's not limited to people reported, but who, if you're saying it's not just about the alien people who've been abducted, it's about other people who haven't been abducted, that aliens are still interfering in their love relationships even though they haven't been abducted? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. That the level of interference and influence on people's lives by this, what we call the alien presence, for lack of a better term, is actually much more widespread than what we had thought. And I believe it's much more global and it's much more widespread than we even imagined. And this is something that Barbara Bartholek had discussed with me over the years before she died, that the alien presence is playing humanity kind of like a chess game on many levels and has a very controlling and manipulative influence on the relationships. But it seems to affect some people more. And so when I looked into this, many alien abductees were the ones we discovered it with, but I'm finding that they're not all, quote, alien abductees who are experiencing this kind of what I call love-bite relationship.
But let me,
it's pretty interesting.
But let me ask you the key question, I think, is why? I mean, I do believe alien abductions are true. I think they've been happening for at least 60, maybe 100 years or more. Who knows? But if what you're saying is true, and I do think because of my own experience, there seems to be some truth because it's so deep psychologically, this whole experience. Why are the aliens interfering in people's love life and putting these love bite relationships together?
That's a very good question, and that's something that I explored in my first book, and also I'm still considering what I think is happening. At first, we thought that with, quote, alien abductees, we thought that the reasons they put people together, which is partially true, is because of genetic bloodline studies where they would put two partners together in order to have children so that the offspring was a desired genetic trait or genetic bloodline. And I think that's partially true, although in my research, that wasn't always the case. Oftentimes they put people together who didn't have children, or they were married to somebody else and had kids with somebody else. So it really wasn't because of the offspring that they could produce that seemed to be the motive.
Well, they could have had, they could have had alien offspring that weren't visibly human. That's also, I think, a big part of the abduction scene is these alien hybrid children. So anyway, but you came up with other ideas about why too.
Yeah, I mean, in addition to, and this is something that we found behind more of the reptilian signature of this, and it had to do with testing emotions, or actually feeding off the emotions generated through putting people together in relationships where there was a strong emotional connection, where there was like a love obsession, where they seemed to manipulate circumstances so that there was a lot of emotional highs and lows, and, you know, yearning and jealousy and obsession and unrequited love and these kinds of emotions, as well as a high degree of sexual energy and even what I call the Kundalini energy aspect that I think was of prime interest to certain alien species, especially the reptilians, but it seems like most of them are interested in that energetic component of the human experience. And that's something that Barbara Bartholik has definitely, you know, hypothesized, and I would believe that that's primarily the reason, although there are other reasons, which I discovered later, working with people who've had not only the alien abduction experience, but those who've had what I call the military abductions in addition to the alien abductions. So what was starting to be reported to me was that people were having relationships being manipulated, either broken up or set up for the purpose, which appeared to be a disruption motive.
Well, my theory as you're talking, I think there's, I mean, who knows what aliens are or something, but there do seem to be forces in the universe, and they're sort of astral forces that feed off of intense emotional experience.
Absolutely.
And that could be sort of at the root of a lot of what you're saying, is that because people have these intense emotional relationships, there's energy that's released, and there's also Kundalini and sexual energy that's released that is actually food or something for some beings.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, was it Robert Monroe who used the term louche as the energetic food for certain astral type beings? And indeed, I believe that many of the aliens who are interacting, they're interacting on an interdimensional or astral level, especially the reptilian aspect, which is reported as being very astral. And they can interfere at that level, but also affect us very physically as well. So that whole energetic louche feeding type of motive, I think, is the primary reason behind the relationships being orchestrated with a lot of high drama.
But also, well, there's many questions, because I've been studying the alien abduction phenomena, well, since my experiences, for sure, which have been, I mean, who knows, they may have been my whole life, and I do have some elements of what you describe in your relationship kind of overviews there. In my relationships, I've had some, they flare up, and then they sometimes just die out in a sense. You know, they get their intents and then it's over. But that may also be just the human experience. I don't know. Or maybe the influence of the aliens themselves. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, well, it's hard to say if you've, I guess from the people I've talked to who didn't have the alien abduction spirits as part of their life history, and when they reported to me that they had an experience that was like a love bite because they read my work, they reported to me that this was absolutely nothing like any other relationship they've ever had. And they were basically dumbfounded and very traumatized by many aspects of it. So I could say from people who haven't had the experience before and have had a love bite, they'd say there's nothing like it. They've never experienced anything like that before.
Well, describe a love bite, because there are people, and you know, you can leave the UFO stuff out. What would a classic love bite relationship is what?
Okay. Well, what's the classic thing would be love at first sight. But oftentimes before that happens, one partner or the other, or sometimes both of them, will have, let's say, a dream encounter. We'll call it a dream of the love bite, quote, targeted partner, where they may interact with them on a dreamscape level or even an abduction if they're clear enough about what's happening. Where they meet with them, they may sexually bond with them or bond with them on other levels, sometimes from childhood, several times throughout their life, that the aliens will bond them throughout their childhood at different times, so that when they later meet in adulthood, which is usually staged and arranged, but by the time they meet that person, it's a profound, like, they feel like they've known that person before. They may look familiar. They may have that image of the person in their mind because they dreamed of it, and they just know this person, so that when they meet them, it's definitely like love at first sight or a knowing. And often with the people who've had the love bite, they have a unique connection that's borders on telepathy, definitely empathy, where they have an energetic resonance with one another, so that once they connect, or even sometimes before they connect, they'll just know when each other's feeling or thinking of them. They may have mutually shared dreams or be able to astrally visit and then be able to confirm with one another that they met in a dream and know that they could meet on these other levels of reality. And then if the relationship starts, it may have an obsessive quality where they're just profoundly in love with that person, either one or both partners. And then a series of synchronicities may happen, or precognitive elements or paranormal things may happen as the drama proceeds. And sometimes that could be explained as, you know, the aliens start to interfere as the drama unfolds, where there's a lot of emotional highs or energetic highs with the feelings they're having. Oftentimes what will happen is the people will have this profound want and need to get together, but different situations will happen, such as that they can't meet, or there's an unconsummated tension developing that just raises to a peak where they can't meet, or the partners are married to different partners, or they're across the world and they just can't meet. And every time they try, you know, something happens, all this drama. Or sometimes they do get together, and then it'll be really wonderful. They have profound connection, wonderful sex, where maybe even their inner kundalini energies are activated. And then the aliens will start visiting them and interacting with them more during the drama, because all these energies are being, out of their system. They're just energetically on a high, you know. So that will happen. And then oftentimes, if it's like, quote, a negative love bite, which most of them have come to me because it was traumatic, they will have a series of emotional highs and crashing lows, where it seems like the relationship's being manipulated from beyond, where either certain events or situations and things happen that will throw one person into, you know, a crashing low, where they, once they were on a pedestal and then they're considered nothing, or the other person suddenly switches off from them emotionally, leaving the other one pining away in unrequited love, while that one pining away is still feeling that energetic connection very closely with the person. And when there's a switch, this is what I call the switching off part that may take place. And in other studies in my book, it had been traced back to the switching off occurred when the aliens visited both or one of the people and did some kind of manipulation to them to switch off the connection, literally cut them off emotionally. So that, like, after an abduction or an event, you know, one person's just switched off and they just don't want to have anything to do with that partner anymore.
Right.
So there's this kind of thing that happens that throws them into this emotional highs and lows and connection, then a switching off and then a pining away, and then or it'll just be an up and down yo-yo kind of thing with a lot of alien encounters and abductions and intrusions that'll happen throughout the drama. And but more often than not, there's an element of where the person, definitely at least one person, will feel emotionally drained, or as if there's some kind of emotional manipulation happening, sometimes from the other partner, or it feels like the other partner is like an emotional vampire. And in those situations, there could be a reptilian element involved where they just get this emotionally drained feeling, or feel like that the other partner is somehow being manipulated by this unseen entity that's acting through them to do things to elicit emotions that are unpleasant.
I mean, without the alien stuff or the reptilian, it sounds like a lot of relationships in general. That's one aspect. I mean, and maybe they also have that other element that's unconscious. Mm-hmm. But are there any love bites that also stay together?
There are some that are less volatile. That there's actually some people that I'm staying in contact with that are staying together with the relationship that was definitely engineered. And at least in one case, both of them are very aware of the situation. And when they're aware of the situation, they could take advantage of the connection by really working on it and, you know, making a decision that they're going to stay together. They're going to work on it. They're aware of what's happening and to stay on top of it. But both people have to be aware to be able to make it work. Otherwise, the situation could get too out of control with the manipulation factor. So awareness is really, really important in order to maintain that relationship, to keep it together, in my opinion.
Right.
It really depends on the beings that are acting behind it. It just seems like the ones, if it's the reptilians behind it, they do create more drama and chaos that makes it difficult to sustain a healthy relationship, because in those cases, there's more emotional manipulation that occurs. And that's hard to sustain a healthy relationship when you've got some kind of emotional manipulation going on, or in a vampirism situation.
Right. What about what you mentioned in the early part of the relationship? And I think you're writing about this in your next book, where you get those telepathic feelings about the person and then that intuition, and then you meet them and it's like you've known them forever. That's also could be a genuine kind of spiritual mate, soulmate connection.
Yes. In fact, that's one of the, in my new book, I'm trying to make it a little more general and not saying so much about aliens, because I know it happens to more than just abductees. But one of the symptoms would be the magical, supernatural, paranormal element, where there's maybe a precognitive thing, just a really, really deep connection, that there's like a telepathic, empathic bond or a soul connection, where maybe those people actually remember different lifetimes together, if they remember like past lives kind of thing.
Right.
That definitely has been reported in love bites, but also positive soulmate things. So in my book, what I call the dark side of Cupid, there's two out of three elements that have to be present to know that this is like a love bite or the dark side of Cupid. And one of them is the supernatural element, in addition to the emotional draining or the emotional highs and lows or some kind of emotional manipulation or psychopathology. So it'd have to be two of those three things to be present. Whereas if it wasn't a love bite, you could still have the paranormal, supernatural stuff, and that could be, you know, a real soulmate situation, but you're not going to have the extreme emotional manipulation and psychopathology that's present with what I call like a reptilian situation.
Mm-hmm.
So in a real soulmate, you're not going to have all that craziness, the paranormal, supernatural craziness that lasts for a long period of time, you know, with all the paranormal activity.
I get that. So the real soulmate connection has the kind of moving into bliss. And I mean, you probably still have some tension there, but it can be worked through.
And they may even have the the supernatural element, where they met under almost magical, you know, situation, or they may have an empathic, telepathic connection with their partner, and that's fine. That could happen normally with people who have really powerful soul connection, but they're not going to have all the interference and manipulation and emotional draining that occurs when there's some kind of orchestrated element going on. They're going to be able to work things through. And sure, they may have the standard relationship issues that are the basic stuff that, like, John Gray talks about, with the basic differences between men and women and the kinds of issues that we have. That's normal. That's normal stuff. But with a love bite, you see a more dramatic situation going on with emotional highs and lows and draining.
Eve, talk about psychopathology. I mean, what I have to say is, this all seems, to some people, it might be psychopathological, this having this conversation, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, that's understandable. All I know is that after working with people who've had these kinds of experiences, there are some aspects of psychopathology in some situations, not all of them. I don't want to cast aspersions on people having, quote, alien abductions, because many of them are just completely normal, everyday people who just have unusual experiences, and they're not psychopaths at all. But in some cases where the person is influenced by a reptilian entity, that person may exhibit something that looks like narcissistic personality disorder, or what, in layman's terms, you say like an emotional vampire kind of person. And those kind of characteristics may be more marked in a love bite situation that's of a negative nature. So you're going to see the emotional vampire kind of characteristics that you'd see in, let's say, narcissistic personality disorder or a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of situation. But the differences here would be in, like, regular narcissistic personality disorder, you may not see all the paranormal elements as profoundly as you do with a reptilian-influenced individual, or what I call a reptilian host. And those are the more severe cases. Those are like on the far end of the spectrum in terms of really dramatic emotional and paranormal effects.
Right, but there are just narcissist types anyway.
Oh, yes. And they may be influenced by entities, some of them. In fact, some people who have like a metaphysical understanding of reality may see that certain personality types may be more vulnerable to entity influence and possession, even. Let's say someone who's drug and alcohol addicted, or like methamphetamines, or extremely abused or violent, could attach an entity onto them and then start having more unusual behaviors.
Yeah.
So that could be happening in some cases where there's a lot of the supernatural strangeness going on.
Well, yeah, I mean, it, in a way, you're. It's interesting because you're describing levels of reality, in a sense that most people don't acknowledge exist. I mean, I do. I am acknowledging there's the alien level, there's the metaphysical, there's the supernatural, there's the astral, there's all these levels that we do exist in. Most people just see the world pretty three-dimensionally. So, I mean, most people don't even accept the alien abduction scenario. And then you're adding this whole other very intense factor on top of that.
It is. It's definitely something that's considered taboo. But I would also say that many people who've had these experiences are extraordinarily perceptive, sensitive individuals who may have a higher degree of perceptual awareness. And certainly the alien abductee population, in my view now, after working with people for so many years, is that they definitely are perceptive and have higher levels of perception when it comes to psychic abilities and perceptions, even though they have other things going on in their lives which are not pleasant, and they probably would not want to live that way if they had their choice. It's just that's what I'm finding. So that there's some people that I prefer to work with now when I'm doing my research to find what I call the really lucid people who have a heightened degree of awareness, and I call them the X factor people, where they may be like spiritual warriors. They may have a heightened degree of perceptual and clairvoyant awareness, and they have a strong moral ground of, you know, integrity, and they want to become spiritually free. They may want to become enlightened. They really work on their issues. They may do spiritual practices. These are the individuals where you're going to get more accurate information in terms of levels of awareness that are above and beyond five senses. Mm. This is where we actually get a better picture and a better view of what the alien presence is really about, because it takes a heightened degree of awareness to be able to even deal with the alien presence and understand them.
Well, I agree with that. And I think because of my alien abductions, I do have a different sense of awareness. But I'm curious, how is the mainstream public, I mean, forget the love bite stuff for a second, which is great, but how are they even going to accept the fact that there is an alien presence? What's our bridge here?
You know, that's such a great question.
And
that's
people like John Mack, who are brilliant, you know, Harvard psychiatrists, Bud Hopkins, Whitley Strieber, very articulate. There's people who've made inroads, but it's still not, it's not accepted. Even UFOs are still scoffed at.
Absolutely. And you know, my best solution is to bypass that element altogether, which is one reason why in the next book that I'm writing, I'm kind of bypassing the whole alien UFO element, but I am entering some aspects of the paranormal and magical. But really it's about how can we have healthy relationships? How can we do the best we can to become free and healthy and have harmonious love relationships, and then be able to recognize red flags of things that are unhealthy, so that when they enter into situations with an unhealthy love relationship, they're able to recognize the signs, symptoms, and how to deal with it, how to heal from it, and how to move on to the recognized, let's say, a true soulmate situation as opposed to a counterfeit one. Mm-hmm. So taking that whole element out of it and just putting it within the realm of behaviors, and how do you want your love life, and how do you want your life to be, and healing from simple issues and traumas and emotional issues.
Well,
and
that's
integrity.
How do we have, I mean, I guess that's part of what you just named. How do we have healthy, peaceful, harmonious, beautiful relationships? What's one way to do that?
Well, I would say that a lot of the material that John Gray talks about in his books about the real basic differences between men and women and what we both need and want in our relationships to make them work for us, and have definitely respect for each male and female need. And also really to come from if we could learn how to increase our emotional intelligence, which means letting go of certain belief systems that is entrenched in our society, which patriarchy really is actually bad for relationships. Patriarchy is very, very damaging to healthy relationships.
What do you mean by patriarchy?
Patriarchy, well, because patriarchy assumes the superiority and importance of male values, needs, whatever, over females, so that relationships could never be good in a patriarchal society because it's already unequal to begin with. There's no foundation of equality and wisdom inherent in patriarchy to begin with. So you could never have healthy relationships in a patriarchal culture.
Right. But most relationships, at least the ones I have and know, bypass that and see, you know, the men and women as equal partners, and they still have a hard time getting along, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's not.
Yeah, you know, it's hard, but I found that, like, let's say when working with couples, what works really well is compassionate communication skills and learning how to communicate on a completely different level, which works for both men and women. And it's actually functioning on an entirely different level, which people aren't used to in our culture, to really work from a feelings and needs based communication system.
Right.
Call that compassionate communication, or some people call it nonviolent communication methods.
Well, I know, because I've met Marshall Rosenberg, who started And I've interviewed him, actually.
That's neat, yeah.
And he started nonviolent communication, but people thought that word was too violent to use nonviolent in there.
Yeah.
So they changed it to compassionate communication. And it's all about expressing your needs and feelings and requests. And it really, and thank you for reminding me about that, because it really is a effective way of communicating with your partner or anyone.
Absolutely. And the Imago therapy with Harville Hendrix is also very effective. And it's very similar to compassionate communication. But in some ways, I think he goes many steps further, because he goes into healing his wounds through a certain type of communication way of being, and where you could actually heal each other's wounds and have a closer relationship that's more compatible. But then again, compatibility, when you think about compatibility, I mean, I really love this kind of stuff. I think that the more we're able to integrate our own male-female aspects within ourselves through healing and spiritual practice and emotional intelligence, then the more we are likely to have healthy, compatible relationships with that are more harmonious.
But the other thing that I'm interested in, I didn't hear you say yet, is like, you know how the love bite, the alien interference is taking place on so many of these multiple levels of reality in order to disrupt the relationship. I think it's possible to have a harmonious relationship with someone on those levels, on the same levels that these aliens and these anomalous factors operate. We can reverse that, still operate on those levels, and connect in these other multidimensional ways with our partner.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up, because I truly believe that's possible. And from what I'm not sure if it could work with everybody who's, quote, having one of those relationships, but it takes a tremendous amount of work and intention to really work on each other's issues to make it happen. Kind of lost my train of thought.
No, but I'm interested in talk about how we can function in a relationship on the same levels that the love bite relationships work, but in a positive way, to kind of deal with each other in those multidimensional aspects.
Yeah. Well, in that way, that was almost like what I call a tantric relationship, where they're able to activate each other's like kundalini energies in such a way that they have a deep soul connection. And then really making it a priority to have love for one another and compassion for one another, the highest priority, so that no matter what happens on the outside, they really work together. So that I believe that our greatest strength as humans is to love one another and to support one another in compassion, regardless of the external circumstances, because that is our power. Because you can have all kinds of negative things going on around you, whether it's aliens or demons or whatever, that actually serve to break up relationships and make us mad at each other and whatever. But we have to make a pact with one another to empower one another and to love one another more so than allowing relationships to be torn apart. So it has to be a decision that we make for one another and for humanity. And that is our power and that is our strength. And that's how we build resilience to this whatever negative factor that is oppressing humanity.
Right. I appreciate all that. And I think it's great. And we could do a whole show on relationships. But I am also very interested in the alien aspect, because that's just been an interest personally, professionally, all that. Do you think the alien abduction scenario is coming to a head? Is it climaxing? Tell me how you think it's changing and where it's going.
I think much of it is escalating because of what we are experiencing as the end of the cycle, you know, the end of the Mayan calendar, whether or not it's a polar shift that will happen where large numbers of humanity will die off due to cataclysmic processes, and certain alien factions appear to be working with people to genetically modify them so that they are resilient to what they perhaps believe to be the coming Earth changes. And this is just theoretical at this time, based on what some people are reporting to me, and I can't say they're all absolutely true. I don't know. It's just what people are telling me about what the aliens are telling them. And some factions, I think they're working with people to keep a certain faction of humanity alive that may be genetically modified to handle the upcoming, let's say, radiation changes with the solar changes that are prophesied to happen. That's part of a cyclic thing for planet Earth.
Mm. And but are people, it feels to me that people are becoming abducted less or getting abducted less than they were in the 70s, 80s, 60s, 70s. Is that true or not?
I don't know if it's less. I really don't know if it's less. I know they're still being taken, and it seems to be more of a upswing of the MILAB element, and I call it a military aspect that's in collusion with some alien factions to use people as guinea pigs for whatever they're using them for. There seems to be an increase in that, where people who, let's say, were only abducted by aliens when they were kids, as an adult now, that most of their experiences are like with the military in some kind of virtual reality scenario where somehow they were plucked out of their situation to be put into another program where they're being used as guinea pigs for some kind of experimental technology that they'll be inserted in these virtual reality scenarios where it seems like they're being trained for different things, but it's all part of, it's actually happening on a different level of reality. It's not necessarily physical abductions. It's more of an astral, they call it the astral abductions or the virtual reality scenarios where they're literally plugged into some kind of lucid dreamscape kind of situation.
Right.
Yeah.
But getting back to the aliens a little bit, what do your research and your case histories say these beings are from? Are these all the little grays we're talking about? Of course, you're talking about reptilians, but are they mostly the short grays?
Well, the grays are the ones who come to do a lot of the physical things that are the workers, but behind the grays are other beings in higher levels of hierarchy, which may be like, let's say, the tall grays or reptilians, Dracos, the mantis beings, the Nordics. And then there's higher level beings that stay more hidden who are the controllers behind many species. And this is what some people like Dr. Corrado Malanga of Italy has discovered through many hypnotic regressions and studies, that on top of this whole scenario and hierarchy, it actually leads back to the ancient Egyptian Horus and Ra and Anubis and some of these ancient beings that have been around for thousands and thousands of years. And
how does it lead back there? What are they saying about
because
it?
They're controlling these other species, at least the ones involved in abductions, where the theory is that they're basically hijacking our soul essence connection so they could take that energy and block our connection to our soul essence so that our energy can be used for their agenda. And they're feeding, for lack of a better term. And it goes back to some of the ancient gods that have been manipulating Earth's religions to keep us dummied down and under mind control. So that's part of the theory.
But that all seems to be changing. I mean, at least my research, because the universe itself, or at least our section, our galaxy, is moving to a higher vibration where those forces will not have the same hold on us as they have in the past.
Yeah, well, that's part of what the whole Mayan prophecy is about, and that would be great. That could explain why there's a ramping up of them trying to do as much as they can before this energetic shift takes place, where maybe they'll be no longer able to do what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But as far as I can tell, people are still reporting to me, you know, abductions and these kinds of things still happening in their lives. And my work is to, you know, how could we empower one another and heal so that we could be resilient to these vampiristic types of beings, and that we could function from a more empowered place and a more soul connected place where we're no longer, you know, victims or easy victims to these kinds of things.
Right. But you've also heard of the good experiences people have, the ascension experiences, the high vibrations, the pure love of meeting some of these Syrian beings or Pleiadian beings. You've heard those stories, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Although I'm more I'm more interested in the people having like the Kundalini experience, where they're experiencing higher consciousness and becoming more realized, according to, let's say, a Buddhist principle of understanding the true nature of their being. That to me is a better indicator of evolution, or what do you want to call it, living to our potential, as opposed to the beings they're in contact with, because some beings can deceive and do deceive and appear as beings of light. Not that all of them do, but some of them do.
And how do you know the difference? I think it's how you feel. Do you feel love or do you not feel love?
I think but how the way you feel is an important aspect, and because that's all you have to go by, really.
Exactly.
So how does it make you feel? And that's something that Barbara Bartholik would always come back to. She would just say, okay, what was your experience and what happened? But how do you feel? How do you feel now? How did you feel then? What's really happening? And you go by how you feel and how things are going in your life. And it's really becoming sensitive to energy. And is your awareness expanding? Are you becoming more peaceful? Are you having more love in your heart? So it's really, you know, how's your life going? And then make an assessment there on, you know, each person is different.
Right. Have you seen the videos of Lisa Renee, who said she had this Kundalini awakened by these Syrian beings, and now she's talking about the ascension energy? Do you know her?
I don't know her, but I hear a lot about the ascension as like it's part of this increased energy that's happening in our whole solar system, as part of this whole galactic thing that's going on and the cycle that we're going into, that may be something that happens more and more as we move into this time.
Well, it seems like, and what I put together, and I think crop circles are showing us this, because I'm into the crop circles, and I think they actually here to give us blueprints of higher dimensional realities. But there is spiritual laws that exist within the universe, and they're evolving and changing, and we're changing with these laws. It's as if we're moving into a different way of being with ourselves and each other, and maybe, like you're saying, that's why the energy is being ramped up now, because it will no longer be possible to access the lower astral emotions in the new age, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, that I think that's very possible. And because I like to have a hopeful feeling that, you know, there's good to look forward to, as long as we increase our awareness and work on living from the heart and, you know, increasing our compassion. And I think that's good. And it just remains to be seen. I just think there's so much deception going on in the UFO alien abduction element, that it all things need to be brought to light, both light and dark, in order to be dealt with. And we have to be at a place where we can allow those things to be brought into the open without judging. And let's say there's a lot of New Age ideologies that say, you know, you can't really talk about evil. You only want to focus on the light, and then the evil will just go away. And, you know, but really, as a healer and as a counselor, I find that when someone has a dark pocket of negative energy in them from a memory of a trauma or whatever, that must be brought to light in the presence of compassion for the transformation to occur of that energy. So that you can't sweep negativity under the carpet and pretend it doesn't exist by putting a screensaver of positive thinking on top of it. We have to have a true healing and a true transformation to happen, to transform those dark energies into wisdom.
And so, I totally agree. And I think whatever the trauma is, that does have to be brought to light. And that's how it's healed.
Personal and collectively. I mean, this happens on a personal level, and why should it be different on a collective level? I think globally and collectively, this is also true, that, you know, take a mother's wisdom. You know, you want to teach your child about things in the world that could happen when they're old enough to understand, and you have to warn them about some things and not keep them ignorant, because if they're ignorant, they may become victim to things that they didn't know about. So, you know, you have to listen and have compassion with people by allowing them to be heard, even if what they have to say is unpleasant to hear sometimes. So it's just that I see a lot of New Age happy, crappy kind of stuff going on where they feel like it's somehow a covert rule to not talk about negative experiences and pretend they don't exist, or to judge people as being negative when, you know, they're just telling the truth about what's happening. And it's both. We've got a lot of things going on.
Right. And I know there is the dark and the light. I mean, you have to look at it all, but I'm also interested because you have a lot of case histories. Did you get anybody who was in touch with the light, those higher beings, in your case histories?
Let's see. Well, only people who have worked through their stuff. Let's say there's people who went through what I call like shamanic initiations, where they're being shown whatever the universe is presenting to them so they could learn from the experience and move on. And as they learned and developed their own power, they become in contact with higher beings. Like, gosh, there was a man that I interviewed who was a MyLab super soldier under some pretty malevolent controllers who did some healing. He first did some deliverance and then meditation in nature for a year. And he was actually kind of frustrated because all the people he sought to get help, including healers and religious people or spiritual people, they were like, wow, you know, that's interesting, but I can't really help you. And so he had to get to a level of working on his own stuff to the point where he could be aware on astral levels and telepathic levels to get the help that he needed from certain light beings. And so that was the level that he had to be in order to kind of jump up a level to get the help that he needed from the higher beings. So that was really, really difficult to get the help on a purely human level. He had to get it on higher levels of consciousness before that help and that power came to him to really overcome a lot of the darker forces that were working in his life.
Well, so. Yeah. No, there are those. I mean, but on some level, to think of the UFO alien things in terms of dark and light or positive and negative, I think that's reducing it to sort of a human level. And the sense I get is it's so much more complex, the whole thing, that I think it's hard for humans to even understand what these aliens are really up to. It's like your dog looking at you on the computer. Do they have any idea?
Right. It's true. It is complex, and it's not black and white at all.
Yes.
We just understand it best we can, you know?
Well, we have to be aware of not to put it into the old framework, because with this whole thing and with this whole conversation, with what you're doing, we need to think of reality in a different way than we've been brainwashed and conditioned to think about it. And I think the aliens, whoever they are, whatever they are, on good and bad, are helping us understand reality in a more evolved way. And I think that's one of the things we can take away from the whole experience. So how would you put like a very complex picture together of what these aliens are really about?
Well, I mean, we can only know through our experiences and what we've learned through time, individually and collectively. People have different opinions. I just say that you have to observe it over a period of time. And even with people who've had negative experiences, they've been forced to look at reality from a different perspective to challenge the current consensus of reality. So even those who had unpleasant experiences have learned to open their fields of awareness, and it forced them to open their fields of awareness of what's really happening. And that's a good thing in the long run. You know?
I think it is a good thing. And I think it's what is actually going to push humanity to this next level of consciousness. So what do you think is the best way? I mean, we can talk about love bites, all that, and the relationship, but how do we start to move, at least in the awareness, to tell people there is something out there and to look beyond the kind of limited conditioning? I'm talking to like mainstream people who have no idea. How do you... I mean, I know you say you bypass that whole thing, but you still interact with people that
yeah.
Who have no clue.
Yeah, it's kind of like having to live a double life, you know?
Well, yeah, but don't you want that? Don't you want it all out in the open?
Absolutely. I'm tired of having to pretend I don't know.
Exactly. Or that
I'm sure there's a lot of other people who are sick and tired of, like, playing dumb here. It's like there's stuff going on. It's very real. And, you know, I think that we need to know ourselves very, very deeply in order to understand the whole alien thing. And so that's why I feel like emotional intelligence and spiritual wisdom is really the place we need to be to fully understand and deal with this. So we need to focus on, you know, emotional intelligence and spiritual realities to empower ourselves to know who we are on a deep level in order to have the wisdom to figure out what this whole alien thing is about. So it kind of really goes back to spiritual practice and practicing, you know, compassion and those kinds of things.
Yeah, and mindfulness and awareness. I think, you know, for me, the more conscious I've been in these encounters, the more that these beings can't control me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, one of the things that I tell people to do if they can is to keep a dream journal and watch their dream life, and if possible to not only practice meditation, but if they can practice, start to learn how to do lucid dreaming, where you could start becoming aware of how your own dreams are a reflection of our projections, but also, is there more? Like, is there true astral beings that are interacting with us on another level? Like, can we meet people who've passed over the grave in our dreams, and to become really aware of these other levels of reality? And then we have a better idea of how things work on deeper levels.
Well, that's exactly why I'm doing this program is to explore those other realities and to know that we do exist on many levels at once. And the other thing that I've noticed about the alien presence, whether they're good or bad or ugly, they radiate a field of consciousness that it's hard for humans to stay present with, because it's so vast. It's so different than who we are. They're thoughts, just being in the presence, whether they're good or bad, is traumatic because we've not been prepared to meet anything like this in the conditioning that we've accepted to be true. So the shock of meeting something outside our cultural boundaries is that's the trauma. And then whatever they do to us after that. But the main trauma is the encounter, I feel. And I'm trying to find ways to prepare people for that encounter that won't be traumatic. I think films do it, but still, the films are still, like, you can see like hundreds of buildings being burnt down on a movie screen, but when you see it in person, you know, like the World Trade Center collapsing, there's a traumatic effect because you know that's real. So,
it kind of reminds me of, what are the effects of trauma? And let's say, like, when someone feels a lot of fear and uncomfortable feelings, a lot of times fear will mask other things inside of us, like feelings that are unresolved from traumas. So that if we can deal with the feelings underneath where the fear is, we can be at a better place to be more fully present when we encounter other situations. But unless we can be fully in tune with ourself, we're not as able to deal with the aliens.
Well, another way, though, also is what Heraclitus, the Greeks philosopher, said. He said, expect the unexpected because it's difficult and hard to find. Meaning, you know, we have to step outside our conditioning about what we think reality is, because reality for most people is more solid than the ground beneath your feet. And so if you're home alone and you've locked the doors and, you know no one can get in, and suddenly there's somebody, like, waking you up.
Or coming in through an interdimensional portal right in your bedroom.
That's right, physically being there. I mean, just forget the independent. I mean, the portal, it's like they're there and they're.
That's right. They come right in.
Strange looking. That just totally freaks you out because it's impossible in the way we think reality works.
Yeah.
And that's traumatic. When the impossible shows up, that is what trauma is. So we need to expand our view of reality in order to not be so traumatized by the impossible.
Yes, that's true.
And
our fear does hold us back. And sometimes it's good, too. Sometimes our fear tells us about red flags that are dangerous for us that we need to listen to. So sometimes fear is a good, like, let's say if you have a bad gut feeling about someone and then you find out later they're like a serial killer or something. I'm saying that's a good thing, you know?
Right. So what do you hope? I mean, what's like, with your books and with this next book you're writing, what do you... how can we start to integrate the ET experience in daily life? But then also, what do you hope to accomplish with your work?
Well, I hope to accomplish to help people become free and comfortable to talk about what's really happening in their lives, because trauma is difficult to heal when we have to keep things secret and live a double life. Like secrecy is a great obstacle to healing and recovery. And we must be able to speak the truth and be heard about these unusual things in order to heal, because healing is where our power comes from. And when we can be more at peace with ourselves, we could be at peace with others. So secrecy, the whole thing about secrecy must be eliminated. Secrecy is a big problem because people are having to keep secrets about these traumas, whether they're positive or negative, doesn't matter. They're having to keep secrets because mainstream is so dumbed down by thinking that these things don't exist, that there's, I don't know how many people have any lived double secret lives because it's not okay to speak the truth. And this isn't just true about alien abductions. It could be about people who've had, you know, maybe sexual abuse in their life, or they're having to deal with an alcoholic or abuse at home or other things, or having a job where they have classified information and they can't talk about it. It's like secrecy is a really big problem and obstacle to peace and harmony and healing. So that issue needs to be dealt with right away.
Right. I totally agree. And speaking the truth will free up a lot of confinement. But, you know, the problem with that is religion. And I think...
And part of religion, I mean, that kind of goes into another conspiracy theory, but that some are saying that reptilians actually control certain religions and belief systems, which actually serve to disempower us and to prevent the realization of who we really are in our truest nature. And so that goes back to what do we believe? What do we realize about ourselves and our true nature? Because I think many religions are actually at variance with who we really are. It's like things are upside down on this planet. So I don't know. What I want to do with my book is help people realize when they've got unhealthy relationships that are being manipulated versus a true healthy soulmate kind of situation, so that people could know. Because if we don't know, how do we change our lives? It's like if we are unaware, it's not good. It's good to be aware, because awareness gives us power.
So do we have to let go of religion? I think we do, personally.
Well, yeah, I think religion actually enslaves us in many ways. In fact, one of the things people that I've been studying up on is John Lash, who's the Gnostic scholar.
Oh, yeah, I've met him. He's a great guy, and his book is
so brilliant. And yeah, a lot of his work, I think, fits very much into what I'm finding with the larger perspective of at least what I call the malevolent aspects of the alien presence, because there's obviously not all one type of alien, but what's called in the Gnostic literature the Archons.
Yes.
The Archons actually sought to prevent humanity from awakening and from living our potential, and the archontic manipulation kind of thing, and the whole Sophia myth, and the whole thing that John Lash talks about,
the Sophia myth? What's the Sophia myth part?
The Sophia Gaia, yes, as the Gnostic myth that Sophia, who is actually the Earth, is actually a living being which descended from the Pleroma, and it's a very complicated myth. John Lash would be able to explain it much better, but our true connection to divinity is actually through the earth and through nature, as opposed to off-planet father gods that proposed this salvationistic system that makes us think that suffering is necessary and okay, and that glorifies suffering as a need to become connected to the divine. It brings up principles that are like mind-boggling for most people who were raised in monotheistic patriarchal religions. So, but it's very, very profound, because it seems like some of the aliens, the malevolent ones, are much like what the archons are described as in the Nag Hammadi library in those tractates. Right. So I think there's something there that's very important.
Right. I get that. That's interesting. Well, it's been great talking to you, Eve. I like where you're coming from in the whole perspective. And your website is
evelorgen.com or alienlovebite.com.
And that's Lorgen, Lorgen. Yes. Mm-hmm. And what would you like to leave people with as a kind of, final thought?
Yeah, I would like to believe that there's great hope for us as humans. But we need to take responsibility for expanding our awareness and living with emotional intelligence and ethics and spiritual wisdom, and that we have great potential, and to live to our highest potential is what my goal is, to help people recognize that and to know that there is true love, there is soulmates, there is good things, but we also need to be aware and mature about some of the other elements that are disruptors to our potential.
Yeah, I agree. And I would just add that I think the more aware we are in our conscious state of being, the more present we are, the more control we have over our lives. That so we can be influenced by outside thought forces. Exactly. When we know who we are, when we know our own presence, our own divine presence, because yes. I do think we have a divine presence.
Yes.
And that's what religion has been in the way of, and in a way the aliens themselves have taken that or masked that from humanity, and we're just as much the masters of the universe as anyone else, so I think we just need to be given the chance in a way.
Absolutely. Increase our spiritual resilience or our spiritual immune system, so that whatever is out there, it doesn't matter. We're still in our power,
That's it. Our spiritual immune system. I like that. Thanks. I've been talking to Eve Lorgen, and this is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. And if you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com, or email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. This is a closing song by Duke Williams, who wrote this Masters of Light, and he also talks about his abduction experience. But thank you for listening tonight.
Good night.
Good night, Eve.
Can we deny?